Creepy is proud to be a part of the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network. This podcast and the 31 Days of Horror is made possible thanks to our patrons. So please join me in welcoming and thanking new patrons, Daniel White, Timmy Goggin, Maggie Woodke, and David Schreiber. Our patrons make this show possible. New patrons at the $5 and above level by the end of October 2019 get, in addition to their regular rewards, a limited edition Creepy Podcast refrigerator magnet. Remember, our $5 patrons don't just get the shout-out, early commercial-free access to all new episodes and past episodes like all of our other patrons. They also get immediate access to over 400 Patreon-exclusive episodes and 4 new bonus episodes every week. This week alone, we have almost 2 hours of additional content, only available on Patreon. And in addition to that, you'll also get the limited edition Creepy Refrigerator Magnet. If you'd like to see how you can support this podcast and get rewards on top of rewards for doing so, please check out patreon.com/creepypod. In this season of horror, make sure to check out the rest of the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network, including The Boo Crew for interviews with your favorite horror stars, SCP Archives for weekly full cast productions of the most popular and horrifying stories from the SCP Foundation, and Horror Queers, featuring horror commentary from an LGBTQ perspective. Find us at bloodydisgusting.com/podcastnetwork or wherever you get your podcasts. Now.
This is Creepy, a podcast dedicated to sharing the most famous, chilling, and disturbing creepypastas and urban legends in the world. Whether these stories truly happened or are simply fabrications is for you to decide. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy presents The 31 Days of Horror, Day 17, The Tub Girl. Written by Mr. Michael Squid on Reddit No Sleep. "Who's the tub girl?" the sweet voice of my 4-year-old Jessica asked from down the hall. I panicked, horrified she'd stumbled across an innocence-shattering image of internet filth.
"Do not click on that, honey!"
I shouted, accidentally banging my forehead on the underside of the kitchen cabinet I lay under to work on the sink's drain. Panic pumped adrenaline into my bloodstream as I jumped to my feet and ran into the living room. I expected to see a vulgar image on an iPad in her hands, her eyes wide and her mind already corrupted. My wife and I only let her play with the tablet on the weekend, a little reward like the Saturday morning cartoons of our days. We set all the parental controls possible and even removed the browser, but even the most vigilant parent knows child-proofing translates to challenge accepted to a kid. I raced over to see her small, curious face standing there in the door of the bathroom. I breathed out heavily in relief. She was talking about her bathtub. "What do you mean, sweetie?" I asked, trying to mask my worry with a smile.
"The girl in the tub. Who is she?"
Jess asked, her wide blue eyes full of genuine wonder under her damp corn silk hair.
What girl?"
I asked as I walked up to her and gave her head a tussling before realizing my hands were greasy from the pipes.
"The quiet one that repeats what I say," Jess said.
I walked over to the bathroom, the overprotective father in me eager to assuage any concern. I leaned in to see an empty tub beaded with bathwater. My eyes landed on the drain, a mere 1.5-inch hole. I entertained the notion of a pixie hiding the drain for a second, then shook my head and smiled as I understood what she'd probably heard.
"Oh, that's just an echo, honey,"
I began to explain. "Sounds travel in waves, and when the waves bounce back," I used my hands to gesture, "they make an echo. You're hearing your own voice moments later, like a boomerang." Jess nodded, then scrunched her brows in confusion again.
"What's a boomerang?"
she asked with a sweet giggle at the sound of the word. I smiled and bent my knees to be on eye level with her. "I have one in the attic from when I was a kid, and we can play outside with it as soon as Daddy finishes fixing the sink, okay?"
The wonder in her eyes gave me all the fuel I needed to allay my worries. Promise? She asked as she raised her eyebrows. Promise. I returned to the kitchen with a relief you will never know until you think your 4-year-old daughter has stumbled across scat porn. The kitchen drain had been backing up ever since we bought the house a few years back, when Jess was just a newborn. The two plumbers I'd hired simply chalked it up to hard water, naming a price nearly 5 digits long to rip out and reinstall new piping. That was a hard no. My wife and I were in the hole after mortgaging the house as is, so it'd be on my little project. I shimmied back under the kitchen cabinet to make sure the water valves were off. I used a wide-mouth wrench to loosen the traditional lock nut strainer, which I twisted with all my might. When I finally pulled loose the U-pipe of the sink trap, a black tendril of wet hair plopped down on my face. I coughed with disgust and crawled out from under there, spitting away the foul taste. I peered back under, staring at the long curl of oil-black hair with both revulsion and disbelief. It was a lot of hair. Inky black, and at least 8 inches in length, was visible. I wondered if the previous owner had run a salon out of her kitchen. The tingle in the back of my neck intensified to full-on dread as I watched a sodden clump of hair suck back into the drainpipe, out of view and further into the pipes beneath the floor. It had to have been some sort of suction with the clog shifting down the tubes. I tried to rationalize, but then I heard the scream. Jess. I ran over to the doorway, feet thumping on the old wooden floor as I arrived at the bathroom. Jess was standing in front of the bathroom door, holding her elbows tight. Her pouting mouth shivered as she began to wail. The fresh tears drew rivers down her rosy cheeks. "I'm here," I said, holding her in my arms. "What's wrong, sweetie?" I asked, feeling her warm tears seep onto my shoulder through my shirt. She just continued to loudly cry as she pointed to the bathroom, the source of her distress. I walked back over to the bathroom and froze in my tracks, looking at the tub and to what was inside. There were 2 long, thin fingers poking out of the drain, grayish hooking talons, waterlogged yet impossibly slim. Foggy white fingernails grew out translucent and frayed. They looked inhuman, but unlike any animal paw I'd ever seen, and my mind raced to understand how it had gotten there. Maybe it was part of some toy or some prop from past Halloween. I hoped. But then they moved. The clawed fingers began twisting around and scratching the inside of the porcelain tub with a high-pitched sound that wobbled my legs. The whole deformed hand came out, similar to a webless pink bat's wing, its impossibly slender fingers pale and pruned. Its skin was like soggy crumpled paper over warped twigs of bone. I yelped as it splayed and reached out. A raspy gurgling, deep croaking bubbled up from the bathroom sink. Jess screamed, only then alerting me she'd been watching from behind my legs. I spun around and grabbed her shoulders, telling her as calmly as I could muster to go upstairs to her room while Daddy fixes it. But I knew there was no fixing it. I retreated, staring at the hideous claws. I slammed the bathroom door closed. I called the police and watched the door nervously until they arrived, all the while hearing those unsettling gurgling sounds and the ringing squeals and slaps of damp flesh on the tub basin. After the responding officers spoke to me and investigated, animal control was called. I spent a half hour in the living room consoling Jess as they tried to determine what it was. Soon they left, and more calls were made and more cars arrived. The animal control van drove off, quickly replaced by ambulances and police cruisers that lit up our street with flashing red and blue lights that drew my neighbors to their windows to gawk. One of the EMT workers choked out, "Dear God," and ran from the bathroom in horror. Soon after, my daughter and I were escorted outside our house and advised to book a hotel for a few days. A detective who arrived tried to shield us from the emerging details, but I overheard what they'd found from a traumatized paramedic who was crying like a child on the porch as we waited for a cab to arrive. I then listened to each horrible detail of what they discovered within the pipes of my home. By what they gathered, The previous owner of the home appeared to have given birth to a very premature infant while in the tub, and it had been pushed, either intentionally or accidentally, down into the drain. The premature infant had gotten lodged in the connecting pipe as it traveled further beneath the flooring, which intersected with the drain from the kitchen sink to mix together as gray water. Food particles from the kitchen drain had provided nutrients each time they'd been washed down into the drain, keeping her alive. I cringed as I listened to the details, trying my best not to let my legs collapse beneath me. Details like a ring of mashed teeth protruding from a tube of malformed gums, allowing her to feed as she grew. Her body had formed in the confines of that narrow prison, a crushed serpentine deformation that grew longer and longer, year after unimaginable year. I listened in horror as I heard a paramedic mention the tub girl had been living, if you can call it that, in the drain for what they estimate to have been nearly 20 years. By the time the cab arrived, I was shaking and in shock, only wishing my initial fear had been correct.
For more information, including pictures and videos of the stories told on this podcast, or to suggest stories for future episodes, please visit us at CreepyPod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or email us at creepypod@gmail.com. All stories told on this podcast can be found at creepypastawikia.com and are protected by a Creative Commons license. Some rights reserved, unless otherwise stated.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.